Let's pray, and we're going to jump into this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us. Father, we just thank you that you are an awesome God to each one of us in this room, Father. Even though whenever we don't think you're being good, you're still being good. And so, Father, this morning we place this service in your hands, Lord, and this is it. We just need you to speak to us, Lord. Father, we need this word to go deep inside of each of us, Lord, that it might gain entrance, Father, to our hearts where it does good. Lord, that it'll change us, Father, into the image of your Son. That's ultimately, Lord, what we all strive for. So, Father, this day I pray for the anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon each of us in this room, to open us up to receive this word with power and might. May it enter, Father God, and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So all of you out there today that have had a spouse of one kind or another, just a quick question. Have you ever experienced a moment where you had an argument with one another? Just quickly. Okay, I'm going to hold it here for a while till you join me. Okay, come on, let's get honest now. All right, if you've been married more than 3 or 4 days, you know it's happened. And, you know, indeed, I've got those stories, you know, that I could tell you today. You know, the biggest fight that my wife and I have ever had was over a pair of shoes. She wanted them way under the bed. I didn't want them that far under the bed. She kept sticking them under the bed. And finally, we just had a big knockdown drag out. It was a big fight. But early on in our marriage life, we had a lot of disagreements. And primarily, those disagreements were because she was very pig-headed. And she's not here today to defend herself, but unfortunately she will listen to this on the internet and I'll get in trouble for it. No, there were actually two pig-headed people in the family, her and her brother, and I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist. No, it was me and her both, and you know, those of you that have met my wife, you know she's small and she looks just so sweet. But I have to tell you, she inherited the genes of her father. Her father was Charlie Jones, and man, I got to tell you something, he was a fighter. And Renee got that, and so you put two fighters together in the same house, and there were just those occasions where we'd just get into it. I can remember early on, whenever Cody was small, he'd be in the back of our 1977 Ford Pinto. He wasn't buckled up. He wasn't in a car seat. He's just roaming around back there. I don't know how I have any idea how he lived to be where he's at today, but he's just roaming around back there, and Renee and I, we'd probably be on our way to church, and we'd get into it about something, because as I told you earlier, she's just like that. And we'd be getting into it, and Cody's in the back seat, you know, and he'd say, "Mom and Dad, I think what you guys need to do is just stop and pray." And we'd say, "Shut up! You do not even know what you're talking about." But you know how it is in your house whenever you have a fight. Because if that fight is not settled, you know, in a short period of time, you know, things are kind of chilly. You know what I'm saying? You know, like whenever you try not to make eye contact, because that's not a good thing. But boy, if you do make eye contact, I've got to tell you, ladies, you've one-upped us. You've got that eye contact that, man, I'm telling you, it's like barbed wire shooting out of your eyes. You go through the house, and you know, if you have to meet one another, you know, you give each other room so that they can get by. And then whenever they turn their back on you, you know, do you ever, you know, mouth something? Oh, you don't. Okay, never mind. I don't either. But you know how it feels in the house whenever there's just no peace. There's no peace. I want to tell you that all the family members in the house can get a hold of it whenever there's no peace between mom and dad. Amen? It's just there. It's just this chaotic kind of this unsettling feeling that just seems to permeate every room of the house. And I got to tell you, folks, it's been a long time since my wife and I have had a fight. I'm thinking maybe 36 minutes. And no, I'm just kidding. No, we came to a place through Jesus Christ, through a lot of getting a hold of our marriage and believing God to build in each one of us. And I have to tell you, Renee has changed a lot over the years. And so, you know, there's just not very many times in our home anymore where we don't have that peace. But I got to tell you, there's been a lot of times, you know, in years gone by where there has been no peace in our house. And I got to tell you, it stinks. It really stinks. You know, it can not only be that way in a house, but it can be that way in church. You know, we get all upset at one another. And you know, that's the one thing that I strive for continuously in this body, is to keep unity in this body and to keep peace between the different members of our congregation. I got to tell you something, folks. It don't do to fight. We are a nonviolent church. Amen? We're a nonviolent church. Amen? That's a little bit better. Three of you back. I ain't saying it. No, sir. I got a knife in my boot and I'll use it if I have to. It's that way in a ministry whenever there's no peace. Things are just unsettled. They're just all up in the air. But I have to tell you this morning that I believe that our culture, our United States of America, and I don't want to spread out too much further than this, but just from what I've experienced in my lifetime here in the United States, I got to tell you, from the youngest to the oldest, I believe that there is a condition that we as human beings have here in America, and it is within the human heart, within the human mind, oftentimes there is no peace. And I got to be honest with you, in my home, whenever there was no peace in between me and my wife, it just really stunk. I came to a place after, you know, like 6 or 8 weeks, and I'm saying, I'm going to settle this fight once and for all. 6 or 8 weeks? I'm kidding. I read the Bible, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. And so most of the time, we had our differences settled by the time the sun was going down. It was great whenever we lived in Montana. The sun didn't go down till like 10:45 at night. So I could stay mad just a little longer. The human heart, though, whenever it experiences that same turbulence that oftentimes is experienced in a relationship between husband and wife, or a relationship between kids and parents, or a relationship between bodies, members of the body of Christ, that unsettling feeling, that feeling that's just, it's just so disturbed, it's just so unnatural. You see, Jesus said, He said, I come and I bring peace. He said, I am peace, man. And I come, I want you to have it. I want you to experience peace. But whenever peace is disrupted in the human heart and disrupted in the human mind, I got to tell you that we as United States of Americans, we've found a lot of different ways to cope with that unsettled feeling inside of us. That unsettled feeling in our heart, that unsettled feeling in our mind. That's why the use of prescription medication is just so blown off the scales today. That's why that people are going out to the ABC store and bringing home all kinds of bottles of stuff so as they can just for a moment, whether it be a pill or it be something in a glass or it be some other situation, they can bring just a little bit of peace to their hearts. I've ministered to individuals that have been deep into alcoholism or deep into drug use, and many times they tell me, they say, you know, whenever I'm high on whatever it is that I'm taking into my body, those are the times whenever I can feel peace. Just for a moment, I can forget about all the problems and all the difficulties in my life, and I can just experience peace for a little bit. Now I have to tell you just what I've seen in my own life and others' lives that have been around me. I think that there's two things that can disrupt the peace in our life. I think outside circumstances that press in on us, a lot of times not any fault of our own, but it yet presses in on us. It can disrupt our peace. And we can come to that place where our minds and our hearts are just unsettled. It's just this chaotic feeling, this churning feeling that something is amiss and you just can't really put your finger on it, but you know something's not right in your heart. Something's not right in your mind. But I believe that outside of those things that press in on us, it's no fault of our own. And I'm probably not speaking for everybody in here, but there's been a lot of times I've caused my own problems. And you say amen to that? That I've caused my own problems. Oh, I get it. No, you're saying amen. You've been there with me. There's been so many times I've made that mistake. I've brought that thing into my own life, in my own situation, and it's caused me to have this unsettling feeling, this unrest inside of me. The thing that's just opposite of what Jesus said. I come and I bring you peace, man. If you'll open your Bibles, I want to read a scripture out of Jonah. the prophet Jonah, all the way back into the Old Testament, chapter 1 of Jonah. I kind of want to read the whole first chapter. It's 17 verses long. You just kind of have to bear with me because it's a long portion this morning for our text. Now, I have to say that I preached out of Jonah a lot of times, and oftentimes whenever I preach out of Jonah, I'm talking about perhaps running from God's call, not doing what you're supposed to do as far as ministry is concerned. But today, I really want to take a look perhaps a little differently than I've ever looked at Jonah in a sermon. So verse number 1, chapter 1 of the book of Jonah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of his dad. Said, arise, go to Nineveh, that's that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish.' And they said to one another, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' So he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'Why have you done this?' For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?' For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, 'Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, 'We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And man, the story of Jonah just keeps getting better and better and better. But as I said a minute ago, I've preached out of Jonah, and I've preached these sermons about running from God's call, so on and so forth. But this morning, I'd like to look at the men on the ship instead of just looking at Jonah. I'd like to preach a little bit about Jonah getting out of the boat. A little bit of background on Jonah. Jonah's on board this ship, and it's very symbolic of how we can allow things to get into our life that don't need to be there. Now we got to kind of capture this idea, because this is kind of one of them underlying ideas that the whole sermon's propped up with. We can allow things to get into our lives that don't need to be there. It could be sin. Sin will cause a storm to rage in your life, folks. Come on. Sin will cause a storm to rage in your life. I don't know about you, but there has been times in my own life where I have gone through a night and it has been sleepless, because there was a storm raging in my heart. There was a storm raging in my mind, because I knew that I had something in my life that shouldn't be there. Come on now. I've been there. There was no peace all night long. My wife and I kind of have this little, you know, bantering goes back and forth between us, you know, and it's like whenever I don't sleep well at night because of something or another, not sin or anything like that. A lot of times she'll sleep good. And she says, well, if your conscience was clear, you could have slept good last night. But I've been there. Whenever the storm raged, I knew. And I just couldn't sleep. Sometimes we allow things to get into our lives that don't need to be there, like sin. Sometimes it could be harboring a bad feeling towards somebody. I'm just going to go over that quickly. No, I'm not. Folks, there have been times in my own life where I've hated people. I'll just be straight with you. I had a lady one time who was a monster. She was kin to Godzilla. Or perhaps she was the Antichrist's sister. I don't know, but one or the other. And she literally tried to ruin the ministry God had put me in. I'm serious. She told a whole bunch of lies and just waged a campaign on the telephone. And it was a horrible thing. And I have to tell you that there were times that if I would have caught her in the middle of the road, I would have got her. Come on. I wouldn't have needed any points for it. I would have just got her. I just couldn't stand her. I mean, I couldn't stand her. I'd see her coming down the hallway in the church. And I mean, I'm talking, I was a pastor at this time. Are you with me? I'd see her coming down the hallway and I'd look at her and I would turn and go the other way because I didn't want anything to do with her. Right in the sanctuary of the church. Hated her. I'm telling you, during that time I hated her, I had a storm that brewed in my life every day. In my mind and in my heart. It just brewed every day, every day, every day. You see, it was a harboring a bad feeling towards somebody. Now understand this. God dealt with me. I started praying for that lady. That lady had a change of heart. I had a change of heart. Literally became a very precious friend in Jesus Christ. The last meal we ate at Winston-Salem before we left that church, she served it to us and blessed us as a family. But oh man, whenever I had that wrong feeling, that wrong attitude in my heart towards her, there was a storm. You see, there's a lot of times we allow things to get into our lives that don't need to be there, like sin or harboring those bad feelings, or sometimes it's wrong relationships. Folks, I got to tell you something. Young people, you need to hear me. If you are yet to be married, do not marry someone that is an unbeliever. If you're serving Jesus Christ, don't even consider... Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to go one step further than that. Don't even date them under no circumstances. You find out if they're blood-bought, blood-washed, if they're full of the Holy Ghost, and then and only then will you determine in your heart that you're going to give them even the time of day. Come on. Some of you older folks need to be saying amen right about there because that's good advice. But unfortunately, there's too many people that saddle themselves with wrong relationships. And it doesn't just have to be dating. And it doesn't have just to be marriage. But folks, I got to tell you something. We should not have best friends. Come on. We should not have best friends that are serving Satan with their lives. Now, we can have all kinds of friends because, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a friend to sinners. Hello. But I want to tell you something. In his inner circle, he didn't run with those people. Come on. Jesus was a friend to everybody. We need to be a friend to everybody. We need to be a friend to the most heinous, horrible people on this planet. But they don't need to be our friends in an intimate way. Are you with me? Because good character is corrupted by bad character. It could be a wrong relationship. I mean, I can understand why some young girl would go for a muscle-bound, you know, guy that's just, you know, yeah. You know, like I was whenever I was younger, you know. I'm going to get me one of them belts that pushes my chest back up into place. 1,000-pound test is what they told me I needed. Never mind, that's only relevant to fishermen. We have those things that get into our lives that don't need to be there, harboring those feelings towards somebody, the wrong relationships, allowing something in our lives that keeps us from moving forward in God. Allowing something in our lives that keeps us from moving forward in God. I was sharing this just this morning about one time whenever I really got things messed up. Priorities in my life were all out of shape. And I'll tell you what it was. I put ministry number one in my life. Ministry. Man, whenever I was doing it for the kingdom, man, I just thought everything was okay. I was okay. And I want to tell you something. It's not ministry. That's not number one. Ministry actually falls way down the ladder. You see, there's God first, and then there's your family. And ministry takes place down third, fourth, sometimes in our lives. Come on. I got it all messed up. So sometimes it could even be a good thing that we have in our lives, things we've allowed there that keeps us from moving forward in God. And so this morning I want to use the story here in Jonah to give us a few little lessons about getting Jonah out of the boat. Because you see, these sailors, they took Jonah. And I wonder how they did it. I wonder if one guy had his hands and the other guy had his feet. And they went, one, two, three, and they launched him. I know if it was a youth group throwing him out, that's exactly the way they would have done it. Let's make this fun. Or they'd have lined him up and threw dodgeballs at him till he fell off. I don't know what they would have done. But there came a moment on that trip, those sailors going down the coast there, that they took Jonah and they threw him out of the boat, and the Bible says that the storm ceased. Bing! All of a sudden it was just nothing. And so this morning when we look at this story, folks, I got to tell you, there's some good ideas in this story about how you and I can begin to bring peace to our lives. Because I'm telling you, I'm tired of people going after peace in the wrong way. They're going after peace and they're looking for it, and they're looking for it in all the wrong places, it seems like. But Jesus said, man, I've come and I've brought you this amazing thing called peace. I'm telling you, man, whenever you are right with God, you can have perfect peace that passes understanding. I mean, in the midst of all kinds of calamity, you can have peace. But sometimes we got to get Jonah out of the boat. Amen? First lesson about Jonah. Don't let him on board in the first place. Come on. You see, these men really didn't realize who it was that were getting on the ship. All the trouble that they were about to face could have been avoided by not letting Jonah on board in the first place. And man, this is a great place for a children's church story. Are you guys ready? Man, I wish I could tell it all the way in its entirety, but I got to skip through time constraints. Oh, never mind. We got 3 hours. Okay, so seems like there was this Indian brave one time, and he was young, and he wanted to achieve, you know, the top brave status, if you would, within his tribe. And so in order for him to do that, he had to leave early one morning, and he had to run all the way up this great big huge mountain that existed behind the Indian encampment. And so, boy, his family all gathered and all of his friends gathered, because, man, this was the big trial. This was the big test. And they patted him on the back, and man, just as the sun peeked over the top of the mountain, they said go. And man, he started up the mountain. He went through all kinds of climate changes and so on, because this was a massive mountain. He gets all the way up to the top of the mountain, and man, he goes, I'm going to do it. I'm here in the perfect amount of time. I don't think he looked at his watch, but nevertheless, he knew he was there at the right time, and he was going to descend the mountain now, and he was going to achieve the status that he had looked for all of his life. All of his friends and everybody would just cheer whenever, give him accolades whenever he came off the mountain. And just about the time he was about to descend the mountain, he looked down, and there laying on the ground in the very, very cold part of the mountain was a snake. And the snake spoke to him and said, hey, that's right there where I would have left. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't even have waited for the snake to speak, because I don't like snakes. Snake spoke to him and said, hey, man, will you give me a ride down off this mountain? I waited too long this year and I got caught up here in this high elevation and I'm going to die because this cold weather is going to kill me. And the Indian brave looked at him and said, man, I ain't taking you down. You're a snake, for heaven's sake. And you're poisonous at that. Snake said, man, he said, I just need a ride. Just tuck me into your Indian vest and just give me a ride down off the mountain. And the guy says, no way, no way. And finally the snake talked him into picking him up, carrying him down the mountain, because the Indian brave had heard over and over that it wasn't going to hurt him, wasn't going to bite him till he got down off the mountain. He'd turn him loose and he'd go on his way. Well, he descended the mountain in record time, and there it was, all of his family and all of his friends were there, and man, they were cheering because they knew that he had now made the journey, that he was going to achieve this standard of braveship, if you would. And so whenever he had got down off the mountain, he reached in his vest and taking that snake out, that goofy snake bit him. And he knew he just had moments to live because the poison had been injected inside of him. And he said, you told me you wouldn't bite me. And the snake said, yeah, but you knew what I was when you picked me up. See, sometimes, folks, we just don't need to let it on board to begin with. Prevention is the best cure. That's why I'm so proud of the children's ministry and our youth ministry. These kids that are growing up in this church and growing up and being ministered to by the Holy Spirit, they're going to be kids that are going to graduate into adulthood, and they're not going to be having to come back into the pastor's office for us to fix them. Come on. See, so many times we allow people into our lives or things into our lives before we fully know if the Lord's involved in them or the Lord's coming into our lives or before letting them come into our lives. You see, folks, we've got to make some assessments every now and then. Let me just tell you something. I know some of you probably know this by now, but not everybody in this world is truthful. Come on. Do you know how many times a young man has told a young lady, I love you. I love you so much. I just want to spend my whole life with you. Please, thank you. And they don't no more love that young lady than I am the Pope. Let me assure you, I'm not the Pope. It's all in the pursuit of something. Most of the time, you don't even know what love is whenever you're that age. If love jumped up and jumped on your head and did a tap dance, you wouldn't know what it was. So the first thing we can learn from Jonah is just don't let him on board in the first place. Second thing, sometimes we got to just stop and say, hey, wait a minute. We need to realize why the storms are in our life to begin with. Verse number 10, let me find it. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Realize why the storms in your life for the first in the first place. These men did this personal examination of what was going wrong. They cried out to their gods. They confronted Jonah to see if he was the cause of the storm. Too many times people just keep riding through the storms when they need to get rid of Jonah. Too many times people just keep riding through the storms whenever they need to get rid of Jonah. We got to figure it out. Folks, I've got to tell you something. There is no price that you and I can place on peace in our minds and our hearts. Peace is a good thing. I'll tell you something. There are too many people out there today that there is this equation that exists in Christianity. If you don't have peace, you will not have joy. Come on. And we got too many Christians that are running around, and I'm going to tell you something. They ain't got no joy in their life. It wasn't very long ago that I had the opportunity to kind of sit, and I love to observe people. And I was observing a couple that had been married for a long time, been in the church for a long time, and supposedly knew Jesus for a long time. And I sat there for about 15 minutes and watched them, and not one time in that 15 minutes did they even crack a smile. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think there's times whenever you don't need to be cracking a smile. But I got to tell you, man, most of the time in your life, you need to have joy that just bubbles out every now and then. Come on. It just kind of bubbles out every now and then. You just get up to the checkout stand and just a little joy just comes out. Come on. Okay, let's just a little joy just bubble out right now. Come on, just. I mean, I am not letting it go. No, no, no. I'm going to sit here with a sour lemon sucking face and there's nothing to do about it. See, that peace, we have to realize why that peace is not there. And we don't need to just keep riding through the storm, just saying maybe one day it'll go away. Maybe one day it'll go away. Sometimes, man, you need to find out what it is, and you need to show them the door. Hello. You see, you're not going to have that perfect kind of peace that Jesus spoke about until those things that need to be removed are removed. Third lesson. Don't get rid of the wrong things. See, some of you have been sitting there saying, my husband is driving me crazy. I'm going to take off today and leave him here at the church. I'm leaving him. I'm not looking around right now for any kind of money. See, this is really what this is all about. A lot of times we try to fix our own problems. We try to fix our own situations, and we end up throwing out all the wrong things. That's what they did. You see, they just grabbed all of their cargo, and this was a cargo ship. They were hauling all kinds of expensive freight, and they just start chunking it over the side, believing that that's going to solve their problems. But guess what? The storm just kept raging. I don't know all the things that they lost in their efforts to calm down the sea and make it back to shore alive, but I do know this. Jonah was their problem. Are you with me? Jonah was their problem, not the things that they threw overboard. Can I just tell you an observation that I've made? There's a couple of kind of people that I've noticed that kind of emerge whenever trials begin to take place in your life. Sometimes whenever trials take place, it drives people to the Lord. Drives them to the Lord. Man, they just go, listen, man, I gotta just get a hold of Jesus a little bit harder, a little bit more. They start being down here right whenever we open up church at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, on Monday, and they say, man, can I just spend some time in the sanctuary? I just need to go in the sanctuary. I just gotta pray. I gotta get a hold of Jesus. But there's also, on the flip side of that, folks that whenever something begins to be amiss in their life, it drives them away from God. They start dropping out, not being at church as much, and, you know, missing Sunday school or missing youth group or whatever. And folks, a lot of times we throw the wrong thing overboard. Don't get rid of the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you something, man. Whenever you ain't got peace in your life and you realize that there's a storm that's brewing in your heart, a storm that's in your mind, folks, I got to tell you something. You need to run to God, because God can illuminate the various problems in your life, and He can begin to say, listen, man, that thing right there needs to go. That thing right over there needs to go. And I'll tell you why I know it, and I can preach it so emphatically, because that is what God has done in my life over and over and over again. He's pointing me and saying, Watson, I'm going to tell you something. That's got to go. And there's been times where I've picked it up, I've carried it over to the edge of the boat, and then I go, okay, wait a minute. I'm not ready just yet. Don't throw the wrong things overboard. Next lesson I think we can learn from Jonah is, don't work to keep Jonah in your life. In verse number 13, they began to work to keep Jonah in their life. The Bible says that they rowed as hard as they could row to get back to shore. They said, man, we just don't want to do this. And it's just like I said, I'd get right over here to the edge of the boat and I'm ready to chunk it. I go, wait a minute. Is there some other way that I can have peace in my heart, peace in my mind, and not have to throw Jonah overboard? Some of you out there going, I don't have any idea what you're talking about, Pastor. I have no idea what you're talking about. See, the amazing thing is, even after they discovered that Jonah was the problem, are you following me? They knew that the reason the ship was about to be broken apart, it was going to be sunk, and they were all going to die, is because of Jonah. They knew the storm that was blowing up, that was because of Jonah. They worked to keep him. But God says, get rid of it. See, I'm looking around right now, and I see some faces, and some of you, I know that you are such kind people. Just, no. Okay. Some of you are just sweet. You're just sweet. You know, just so sweet. But I have to tell you, whenever a situation begins to arise, such as we've been talking about the last few minutes, there has to come a time in your life where you begin to be ruthless. Come on. You got to be ruthless. You got to go to that person that has been influencing you in the wrong way, and God has said, listen, that partnership, that friendship, it needs to dissolve. You cannot be best friends with that individual because that individual is leading you on a path that you cannot go. You have to begin to be ruthless. You got to go to them and say, man, this friendship is ceasing. I want to keep you at arm's length, if you would. I'm not going to run with you. I'm not going to party with you. I'm not going to be led down the same pathway as you. You cannot be gentle. You have to be ruthless. If you've got a bad habit, I'm telling you, folks, you got a habit that's between you and God. God has been knocking on your heart's door and saying, listen, man, you need to put that down. You know what we do with bad habits, don't we? We pick them up. You're going, buddy. You are going. But not today. I'd like to have this bad habit for just one more day. Since today's Monday, I can keep it all week and deal with you on Saturday. Right before I go to church. We got to get ruthless. We got to get a hold of them and throw them out into the sea. It seems like sometimes it's like this with me, okay? I can do a million other things, but until I obey the voice of the Lord, does that resonate in anybody else's spirit besides me? I can do a million other things, but until I heed the voice of God and obey that voice, there is no peace. There is no end to the storm. The next lesson I think we can learn out of this is whenever you get rid of your Jonah, your life will immediately get back on course. So they picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. Listen to this. And the sea ceased from its raging. So pretty much on the splash, the sea calmed. Because the sea was raging because God had caused it to rage. And so the minute Jonah hit the water, it quit. You see, you find out this amazing thing here. As soon as they threw Jonah overboard, as soon as you and I deal with those things that God has dealt with us in our lives that is causing us not to have peace, I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of things. It can be sin. It can be harboring a bad feeling towards somebody else. It could be that wrong relationship, something that keeps our lives from moving forward, a bad habit. We can have a problem with our mouth. We can have a problem with where our mind goes. We can have a problem with lust. We could spend too much time on the internet. We could be on the wrong places in the internet. As soon as it comes to our minds, this is, I got to have some peace in my life. And you deal with Jonah. You throw him overboard. You'll find the sea is calmed. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Man, I've thrown a lot of Jonas overboard in my lifetime. I tried to trick God one time. I tied a rope around his leg and pulled him back a couple of hours later. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But folks, one thing that I've learned over the years is whenever I deal with that Jonah, whenever I take him and I throw him overboard, that's the moment that peace begins to saturate my spirit. Peace begins to come to my heart and my mind. You see, basically what it is, it's surrendering to God's will. That's the moment that you will have calm. That's the moment that you'll have calm. And let me just spend a minute here. There's no way today that I could communicate in any way, shape, or form and give you an idea that peace in any way is overrated. Come on. I cannot stress the importance of peace in our lives. Folks, if you're cranky, you know, if you're cranky, people are cranky sometimes. I really believe that cranky is an outflow of the storm that rages oftentimes in our spirits. Let me tell you why. Because if you're not happy with yourself, you cannot be happy with others. I said that very politically correct. Cranky. There's a lot of words that can fit in there. But I got to tell you something. People that are at peace with Jesus Christ, they're the sweetest people in the world to be around. They got peace in their hearts, man. They've chunked a few Jonas over the deck. Are you there with me? I mean, they've chunked a few Jonas over the deck, and all of a sudden this amazing peace just floods their minds and floods their souls. I'm going to tell you, it is good to be at peace. I can't overrate peace today. I can't say something that's going to build peace up where you say, oh man, I want to achieve this great thing that Pastor's been talking about. And then once you achieve it, you're going to say, ah, he overrated it. I'm telling you, peace is worth going after. It makes no difference how old you are. These young people on the front here, those people in the congregation got a little bit more gray hair or a little bit less hair. I don't know. Wherever you're from, I'm telling you, it makes no difference of age or socioeconomic background. I tell you that peace is good. I tell you this afternoon I'm going to go home to my wife and we haven't had a fight in a long time. I mean it. We just really haven't. I tell you something about we take each other for granted way too often. And a lot of times we're really quick to pick on one another and pick at faults and so on and so forth. I'll tell you something about a sickness. Whenever it comes upon a family member, it will change the way you communicate with one another. Because whenever somebody gets sick in your home, all of a sudden fighting seems to be such pettiness. Come on. And now fighting didn't just go away whenever my wife got sick. We kind of got a handle over it because God began to deal with us. We had to quit screaming at Cody in the back seat. We just had to quit fighting on the way to church, man. It's hard to deliver a sermon whenever you're mad at your wife. It really is. I'd look back there and just go... But the love of Jesus. Jeez. I just had to quit. I'm going to go home this afternoon and I'm going to be believing for peace in my home. I can saddle up next to my wife on the couch and I'm going to watch Denver just beat up on those Jets. And I'm going to hold her hand for the better part of the game. peace is a good thing. It's good. It's good to have peace in your marriage. It's good to have peace in the body of Christ, too. It really is. I mean, to look around and know that there's people in this place that are different from you, and there may be people in this world, in this church, that may, you know, they just don't rub you exactly the right way. But man, just love them anyway. Because you know the way you look at somebody, you go, you know, they're a little bit weird. Three other people are looking at you and saying the same thing about you. Yeah. So that's why I think God sent kind of weird pastors to your church. I love you, Nathan. Man, you didn't know you were being sucked into this. He was normal before he came here. I can tell you something about the pastors of this church. We get along with one another. We're friends with one another. Pastor Rick and I have been friends for 30-some-odd years, for heaven's sake. I'll tell you something else about the board of this church. We don't ever fight in board meetings, ever. Ever. Never been one fight in any deacon meeting since I've been here for 12 years. That says something. There's deacon meetings, folks. I tell you, the deacons come packing, man. Some of you out there, they brought their lunch? No, they brought a gun. Well, what's bad about them packing a lunch? Hey, man, I read an article, and I think that it happened a few years ago, but two deacons got in a fight on the front step of the church and had to be broken up by cops. They had to call 911. We've got two deacons fighting in the front of the church here. Oh, that's got to make good for good conversation in the community. It's good to have peace in the body of Christ. Amen? But I'll tell you something that trumps it all. It's to have peace right here in our hearts. It's to have peace in our minds, knowing that we are right with God. Knowing that we've done the things necessary to get Jonah off the boat, if you would. And so this morning, I just have to encourage you to just literally become ruthless in your life and begin to throw those things overboard that needs to be thrown overboard. Don't protect them. Just get rid of them. Don't throw the wrong things over with. Just get that Jonah and chunk him overboard and let him find his way. And then protect ourselves as we move on through the rest of our life and just be careful who we let on the ship. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this here in just a few minutes, we're going to give everybody an opportunity in this room to just throw something overboard. How often do you get to come to church and chunk things overboard? You can go out to eat after service and say, I threw three Jonahs overboard today on the ship. Tossed them off. They drowned right to the bottom of the sea. Okay. Jonah, you can come. I'm sorry. Jonah, as far as I'm concerned, deserved to go. And so this morning, we're not literally going to throw Jonah overboard just in case there's somebody named Jonah in here. Because there for a couple of years we had a Jonah. Poor little guy, he'd be scared right now. But see, what we're going to do is we're going to think about things in our lives that the Holy Spirit's going to bring to our minds. And whenever the Holy Spirit begins to point these things out to us, and we realize that they're going to have to go because they are disturbing the peace in your life. It could be an old hurt, a bad habit, a wrong relationship. Something as simple as a negative attitude. Can I just say something? Christians should be positive people. They should be people that say, I can. Not people that say, I can't. I mean, Jesus gave it all so that you and I could be more than conquerors. So that we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And so it may be as simple as a negative attitude, but we are going to have to get it out of our lives. And I really believe that today is a good day to drop Jonah overboard. Because peace is so, so good.